going to try to be about 15 minutes long. Amen. I want to give Brother Carl some time to preach, and I'm going to try this 15 minutes, but I'm going to stay there. I like what Vernon Palmer said one time. I was over at a camp meeting, and they gave us 10 minutes. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm just not a 10-minute preacher. And that's what I told her. And so we were over at Brother Doug's camp meeting. Brother Vernon got up, and the service was running late. And Brother Doug go ahead and gave it to Brother Vernon. And he said, you know, he said, if I could just take 1 minute to talk about my Jesus, just give me a minute. Hey, man, you know, something flew all over me that day. And I realized it don't take no hour to tell about Jesus. Hey, man, if you can take a minute, Brother Scott, and just tell about the love of Jesus, it's worth it all. Now, mind you, it would take me the rest of my life to tell how good God's been to me. But if I could just take 1 minute and share with people about how great God is, and tell them about how he saved my soul when I was unworthy as an 8-year-old boy, and he saved me. Hey, man, I'm going to heaven. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what people say. I'm going to heaven, Brother Rhodes. Just give me a minute to tell somebody about that. Hallelujah. This whole week, people have been talking about different things, and this message has been on my heart. I've preached it before, but I just had it on my heart. I didn't even know I was going to preach this year, and I really don't come over here to preach. I'll be honest with you. I come over here to listen and to get filled, but I'm going to take time to preach to you this morning. I'm going to read some scriptures. You can be seated. You don't have to stand, because I'm just going to read real quick. In Romans 1:7, it says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. And then over in Matthew, I'm going to read over there in the 5th chapter, 13th verse. It says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast and to be trodden under the foot of men. You might say this morning, Brother Billy, how in the world does them two scripture goes together? First of all, you said called to be saints, and then you said, you are the salt of the earth. And when God gave me this message a few years ago, and I was sitting there, and I got to thinking about that, and then I got to thinking about a topic, being a salted saint. Amen. That's what we need in the world today, is some salted saints. Amen. First of all, when you think about a saint, I believe Brother Joe was preaching last night, and he started mentioning about the saints. And he talked about him being Saint Joe and Saint Scott and all these saints. You know, people get the idea to be a saint, you got to be old. Amen. But that's not the truth. Amen. We all are called to be the saints. Amen. Now, if you'll look in the Hebrew or in the Greek, you'll find out what saints all about. Saint simply means to be holy, to be sanctified, and to be pure. Amen. Listen, when you get born again, when you become a child of the King, you become a saint of God. Amen. I don't have to wait till I'm 80 years old so somebody said, well, bless old Brother Billy's heart, wasn't he a saint? Listen, folks, I'm a saint now. Amen. Listen, folks, I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And I'm on my way to glory, and I'm a saint today. Amen. I might not look like much, but listen, you don't see me like heaven sees me. Amen. Listen, God looks at me and he sees me as a saint. Not only does he see us as a saint, but he said that we are the salt of the earth. And I got to thinking about how I would relate that, and then I got to thinking about salt and what salt really is and what salt really does. And there's a few things, I'm not going to keep you long, there's a few things that I think about salt, and one of them is salt is a de-icer. Now, you know, when I know how it is in Alabama, they can talk about ice. You know, you'd have a half a inch of ice, you know, shuts Birmingham down. But the minute they start talking about that, amen, what they do is they start getting the trucks and they start filling them up with sand. And the reason they do that is so they can throw these sands on these icy spots that it would melt the sand. Now what's in that to melt? It's the salt. And when I get to thinking about being a de-icer, I think about D-E capital I-C-E-R. Yeah, I tell you what, I get to thinking about that I part. To be a salted saint, I believe we need to get the I out of our lives. Amen? Listen, Father, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. But we're so careful to think about ourselves more than we think about others. When I think about ice being a de-icer, what does it do? It melts. I think to be a salted saint, we need to have some melted hearts today. Amen. Amen. We need to have some hearts that are melted for our lost people. We need to have hearts melted for those that are hurting. Listen, folks, sometimes when I think about that, I think about the Good Samaritan. I think about when the Levite came by representing the law, how he walked on one side and he just looked. And then I think about how the priest came on the other side and he just looked. And maybe they said something like this. Well, you shouldn't have already been there. You wouldn't have got in that trouble. You shouldn't have been on that road. And people said the reason he got in trouble because he was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. You should, if you hadn't been on that road, you wouldn't have got in that trouble. But let me share something with you. The Levite was on the same road. The priest was going down the same way. Had nothing to do with the road. Had nothing to do where he was going. But it had something to do with the devil trying to destroy somebody's life. But then I think about the Good Samaritan when he came down the road. The Bible said he had compassion. And he went to where he was. Hey man, listen, folks, I'm glad. Hey man, that there was some folks that had compassion on me. I'm glad that I had a praying mother that would get up when I was 8 years old and they would tell the church, "Church, I want you to pray for Billy. He's lost." And I would say, "Mama, don't say that. That embarrasses me." But she'd get up the next service and she'd say, "Church, I want you to remember my baby. He's going to hell and I don't want him to go to hell." She had compassion on me. Her heart was melted and she led me to Christ. I can just see that Good Samaritan. I know a lot of times we use that Good Samaritan as being Christ. Amen. But you know, if you read the latter part of that scripture, it talks about it being us. And I can see where that Good Samaritan came down there. Brother O'Neill, you know what he did? He said, you know, he was laying down there naked, half dead. I don't believe that he was up here looking at him and saying, "Get up, get up, get up." But you know what he had to do? He had to get down there. Y'all excuse me a minute. He had to get down there and that man was on the ground and I could see him. Brother, as he got in there, he said, "Let me help you up." Yeah. Oh, and he was bleeding. He was half dead. He said, "Let me help you up." Yeah. Amen. The Bible said that he bound him up. Oh, he had to bound him up. He poured in the oil. Amen. And the Bible said he lifted him up. I could just see that man as he was lifting him up and said he put him on his own donkey. Amen. And he walked all the way to the inn. Amen. I can see him taking him off the donkey and taking him over there to the innkeeper and say, "Look, this man right here, he's half dead." And the Bible said that he took care of him all night long. Amen. And not only after he did that, amen, he said, "If there's anything lacking when I come back," he said, "I'll pay it." Listen, you know what he did? He bound them up. Amen. He filled them up. He lifted them up. One God, he paid them up. And one day, praise God, he's going to carry them up. Woo! Aren't you glad of that today? Of a melted heart. That's what we need in America today. It's not big I's or little U's. Amen. But it's so folks that's got a melted heart. Amen. That cries real tears when people are hurting. Listen, I tell you, I pastored 3 years. Amen. And every time one of my members had a hurt, I felt like I was hurting with them. Listen, you've got to have that melted heart. Now, I could go on that, but I'm going to preach 15 minutes. But not only having a melted heart, there's another thing about a salted saint. I ain't going to go into length of this, but I'm a popcorn eater. I like popcorn. I eat it just about every night. And me being a diabetic and high blood pressure, they said you can't eat salt. Have you ever tried popcorn without salt? It's not worth it, nothing, is it? Matter of fact, I tell Benita to buy that Orvin Redenbacher stuff. One with a theater butter, put salt on it, and it's not salty enough, pour some more. I start eating that popcorn, got my own bowl, nobody touches it. Got my own bowl, I eat my own popcorn. Until my grandkids started coming around, I share with them. But I start eating it, Brother Carl. But pretty soon, I start licking my lip. After not letting her have any popcorn or anything, I say, honey, how about going and give me a drink? Do you know why? Because that salt had made me thirsty. You know what the Bible says over there in Matthew? He said, blessed are ye that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Listen, to be a salted saint, you'll get thirsty about this. Amen? Listen, I got thirsty about Jesus when he came into my heart. Amen. You wonder why we go 260 days a year. Amen. To service. I'll tell you why. Because I'm thirsty about it. Hey, I hunger and I thirst after revivals and people getting saved and feeling the Holy Ghost of God. Listen, folks, I'm thirsty after that. Listen, these salted saints, the reason they come back on Wednesday night, it's because they are thirsty. I get thirsty, Brother Carl. That's why I go to church. I can't get my fulfillment at home. Amen. I get thirsty. Amen. I get to thinking about that salt. And I got to go where I can get me a drink of water. Hey, not only that, did it make you thirsty? Now, I can preach 30 minutes on each one, but I'm not going to. But I want to tell you something. You know, they was talking last night, something else about salt. Amen. Do you know, I want to say this again, I like butter beans. Me and my wife got married, she had called my mother and she said, what does Billy like? She said, butter beans. And I said, so she made me some butter beans. And I sat at the table, got me a big old bite of them butter beans and I was starting to... Don't taste like my mama's. I was brave enough to say that. I said, first of all, let me share this. She gave me loaf bread with it. I told her, I said, honey, that's grounds for divorce. Hey, man, to give somebody butter beans with loaf bread. You got to have cornbread, greasy cornbread. But anyway, but you know, I sat there and I started eating them butter beans and I said, honey, these just don't taste like my mama. You know why? She left the salt out. Hey, man, you know what I think about a salted saint? I think we ought to have some seasons about it. Amen? I think we ought to have flavor about it. Amen? Listen, folks, the reason people don't want what we got because we don't act like we enjoy what we have. Hey, man, if you act like you're enjoying being a Christian, if you act seasoned about it, hey, man, people might want what we got. Listen, the world's having their fun. And the devil are showing them things that are happy and joyful. And listen, have a good time. But we come over to the house of God. We act like we hate everybody. We don't want to talk to nobody. We look like we're mad at everybody. No wonder nobody wants what we got. You got Bible for that? Yes, I do. The Bible said, let your speech be seasoned with salt. We need to be a salted saint. We ought to have some flavor about us. Amen? Amen. When people look at us, they ought to say, hey, boy, them are sweet folks. But listen, we fight and fuss and grumble and complain. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's raining. Hey, you can't never get satisfied. And we expect the world to want what we got. We need some seasons about it. Another thing. Salted saint. I ain't going to look at my notes. I'm just going to look at my watch. I'm back there. Something else about salt. Brother Joe said something last night that kind of went along with what I'm going to say. But I'm a young man. I'm 48 years old. And ever since I've been alive, we've had refrigerators, you know. But when my dad was growing up, he would tell me they would have something what they called smokehouses. And the smokehouse was is where you put your meat in. And you would take salt and you rub it on the meat. And the reason you would put the salt on the meat was to preserve it where it wouldn't run. Listen, I'm telling you today that I'm preserved. I'm a salted saint. I knelt before God when I was 8 years old. He rubbed salt all over me. He preserved my heart. Listen, I couldn't get lost if I wanted to. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm saved forever. I'm going to heaven. Listen, folks, I'm a salted saint. And God sealed me to the day of redemption.
Amen.
I lay down every night. Close my eyes. And don't worry about a thing. They tell me I'm going to die. Well, Jesus told me that a long time ago. Hey. It don't matter about that. You think I lay there and worry about, hey, they looked at me in the hospital and they said, you got two months or 2 years to live at the most. I said, what are you trying to do, scare me with heaven? Huh? Listen, if I die, brother, I'm going to heaven. Hey, if I stay, if it's needful for me to stay, I'll tell people about Jesus. And if I go, I know I'm preserved because I'm a salted saint. One more and I'm through. Another thing about, now I could go along on all of these. I got a lot of scriptures, but I promised you 15 minutes. Listen, there's another one about salt. Salt is a healer. You get a sprained ankle, sprained wrist, what do? Sore bodies. You run over to the pharmacy. You get you a box of Epsom salt. You pour it in that hot water. And you, hey, and it'll heal. You have open wound. It'll heal that. To be a salted saint, there need to be some healing going on. I'm not talking about physical. But I'm talking about spiritual. The Bible says, how can you love God whom you have not seen when you can't love your brother whom you have seen? The Bible says he that hateth his brother is slain as a murderer. Let me tell you something. We like to take that out of the Bible when we get mad at people. Well, God don't understand that. And I've heard people say this, and then I'm done. They say something like this. Well, if they do it to me one time, I'll forgive them. They do it to me twice, I'll forgive them. But if they do it three times, they're on my book. I'll mark them off. Well, the disciples came and said, Lord, just tell me how many times we're supposed to forgive. Seven times? He said, no. He said, seven times 70. And they probably thought, well, that's all right. He said, but in one day. And I got to figure into that. And that sounds like a lot, don't it? But let me show you what sounds even more than that. It's a little less than 18,000 times a year to forgive your brother. Hey, listen, one little thing happens, we won't talk to him for 6 months or a year. And we'll stand up and say, oh, bear me away on a snowy white wing. Listen, we're not even worth going out on a buzzard wing. Listen, folks, I want to tell you something. To be a salted saint, we need to fall back in love with one another. He said, be good to them. He said, expressly, the household of God.
Amen.
You fuss around here? Do we act like we're salted saints? He said to be sanctified, pure and holy. And have some salt about you. Amen. I'm done. I love you. God bless you. Brother Melvin.